It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Tamaria, Rachel, I am good, thank you. I'm looking out over a city that's a little quieter than normal, but yet level three, still good to see all of that construction work at least going on, and quite a lot of cars on the motorway still. So, you know, our estimates are that maybe 20-25% of people aren't able to work, and it's a serious situation for those people, but a shorter period of time, lower level of restrictions, lockdown, and, you know, if everybody follows the rules, listens to the health authorities, I'm confident we can get through it, but it's early days yet. We've just got to see what the next few days bring in terms of numbers of people revealed to test positive.
So a lot can change fast. We weren't even talking about COVID last time we had a chat last week. We're having a little bit of a reprieve from it, but it has, of course, come back, and this is, I guess, freaked people out a bit in the sense that it's thrown everything back into instability, which has been quite a huge, I think, readjustment period for people at the moment. You raised some concerns over the weekend about people not necessarily following the guidelines. What have you particularly been worried about at the moment?
Look, I think most people are, to be fair. Let's we'll put it in context, but it's a bit of a worry when I see some of the scenes at playgrounds, at beaches, people going to Waiheke. But if I just touch on that last one, the number of people that went on Saturday across was about 500 compared to the normal 4,000, and some of that 500 would have had legitimate reasons to be there. But undoubtedly, some people thought, well, hey, it's a beautiful day, and it was. Let's hop across on the ferry and go to Waiheke, and, you know, that is breaching the rules. You know, the rules are we should stay local, and, you know, while we can go to a beach and we can go outside for exercise, we want to keep it local. And, you know, look, my message is very clearly, we've got through this before. We were one of the most successful countries in the world at constraining the spread of COVID. We can do it again. It depends partly on government, but it's no good pointing the finger at government saying, you haven't done this, if we are not there and complying and doing what we need to do on the advice of health authorities. And that is, you know, if it possible, stay at home, keep in your bubble, socially distance. If you've got symptoms, ring Healthline, ring your GP, get tested immediately. And the latest advice and the evolution of the advice is, it's wise to wear a mask.
Would you like to see mandatory masking come in?
I prefer the approach of educative and encouragement. You know, I was just listening on the radio this morning. Big demonstrations in Spain, the country in Europe probably the worst hit by coronavirus, and having second waves, and big demonstrations by people against wearing masks. And I think of all of the things that you might demonstrate against in terms of personal freedoms, and wearing a measure that when you sneeze, the droplets don't go beyond your mask, but, you know, whereas if you weren't wearing a mask, it might go a couple of metres. And you think, this is just a common sense health measure.
And
not a civil liberties measure.
One of the things that's possibly been emphasised in the last couple of days is that you're not necessarily wearing a mask for yourself, you're wearing a mask for other people, because it seems to be that the spread, it's about spreading it to other people. It's more effective at stopping it if you happen to have the virus, which I think is maybe important to notice.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. The mask, originally there was, you know, there was mixed messages about wearing masks because it didn't protect you, and if you fooled around with it with your hands, it could make situations worse. But the consensus has been reached by the experts, and, you know, I don't pretend to be an epidemiologist, but I listen to what the experts say, and they say, look, you don't know if you've got COVID-19 quite often until you're well into the period during which you are contagious, and this protects others in the event that you have it. And look, for me, the very best thing we can do is to contain the virus by going early, going hard, do it effectively, and then get back to normality. Wow, didn't we enjoy those 102 days?
We definitely did.
We looked around the world and we thought, all those other poor so-and-sos, they're constricted. but we are COVID-free, and we were, and that was a great achievement. But we also know, and you know, that with Hong Kong, Vietnam, other countries that were similarly successful, they had new outbreaks, and we knew that it was highly likely that this would happen again. So, you know, we're not entirely surprised about it. The Director General actually 2 weeks ago said, look, it's inevitable, we will get it again. We've just got to do the things that are common sense, and then we get the best results. You know, I don't want to see 25% of people not at work.
Yeah.
But I know that if it gets like Melbourne, it won't be 25% of people not at work. It'll be 55% of people not at work, and the costs will be even greater on the economic front as well as the health front.
I just wanted to touch base on what's happening with council facilities at the moment, because, of course, all public ones like libraries and things like that will be closed, as happened last time. I wondered what's happening with playgrounds, for example, and public bathrooms, because there was quite a bit of discussion about those spaces last time we were at level 4 and level 3. What is happening with that at the moment? Are they closed to the public, or are you recommending people don't use them? What's the deal there?
We're keeping a lot of the public toilets open with enhanced health measures, sanitising measures. The playgrounds are closed, and by the end of yesterday, we've got about 1,000 apparently, by the end of yesterday, there should have been notices go up on almost all of those playgrounds and taping around the most popularly used playgrounds. And the reason for that, it's not a really high risk of contagion, but there is a risk of contagion from COVID-19 staying on surfaces. And I know that over the weekend I was getting reports that, notwithstanding the fact that people basically know that playgrounds are closed, people were still using them. And, you know, I saw pictures of that around the region. And so We have moved on that quite quickly. We had 20 groups of people out putting up notices, tape around some of them, and the message is very clearly, look, for this period of time, please don't use the playground equipment, please don't use the park benches. There is a chance that you could get contagion from those surfaces, and we don't want that to happen.
I did just also want to go back to the beaches very briefly, because obviously last time we went into lockdown, it was a slightly different season. We weren't having such beautifully sunny, warm weather like we saw over the weekend. And moving into summer, there's always the possibility that we might see future outbreaks. Do you think we need to have some conversations about how our public spaces like parks and beaches are used? Obviously, these are things that are really important to New Zealanders. And we're very fortunate to have close access to them in a city like Auckland. But that might pose some difficulties for social distancing and things. Has the council thought about how this might be managed going forward?
Yeah, look, and it comes within the Ministry of Health rules on it. The important messages are, if you're going to the park and you can, or you're going to your local beach and you can, please, one, socially distance. Secondly, if you have any symptoms, don't. Just go and get tested and stay in confinement at home. Three, and a whole lot more Aucklanders are doing this than did it last time around, it is wise to wear a mask. So please do that. And if you do all of those things, then our chances of containing the virus spread are much greater. And look, we are as strong as the weakest link, unfortunately. And if somebody thinks, look, I'm immune to it, or I'm young and it's not going to affect me, hey, a whole lot of the people contracting this virus are young. The death rates aren't high when you're young, but you've got parents, you've got grandparents. You don't want to have it on your conscience that because you were careless and complacent, you conveyed that to an older relation, and they were, their health was put at risk, and they maybe died because of it. You know, just think, yesterday in Melbourne, 25 people died in one day, more than the entire death toll for the whole of COVID-19 in New Zealand. We don't want to replicate Melbourne. We want to replicate what we did the first time, and we can do it, but it requires everybody's cooperation. And somebody please, please tell Brian Tamaki that this is not a communist plot to take away your liberties. It's a common sense health measure to protect the very people that he tithes to get a living. You know, I'm fed up to the teeth with the conspiracy theories and the malicious and absolutely inaccurate social media stuff that talk about, you know, families that have contracted this, breaking into quarantine to associate with people that were deported from Australia. Not a skerrick of truth in it, yet we have people deliberately and maliciously spreading that rumour. You know, I just regard that as absolutely unacceptable.
How do you propose that people combat some of that misinformation if it's popping up in their friends or in their families? Because, you know, people are scared at the moment and a bit anxious, and that kind of misinformation thrives in a context like that. How do you propose people maybe have those conversations with friends or family members that might be getting in a bit of a wormhole?
Well, I think you've just got to be frank with them. You know, we probably all have relations that are prone, you know, not necessarily malicious people, but are prone to believe the conspiracy theories. I just think we've got to be absolutely blunt and upfront about it. And Facebook's got to take responsibility when they find this happening to remove it. And people will make their own voting judgment on the various political parties that are claiming conspiracy theories out there. It's almost, you know, look, it's not unbelievable. We've got an element of Trumpism in New Zealand. Fortunately, it's a tiny element and not 40% of the population or 30 or 40% of the population as in the United States. But we've got to be totally dismissive of that sort of thing. And look, don't believe the stuff that the keyboard warriors write up without a skerrick of evidence to back it up. But those people that are doing that, they're absolutely blaming the victim. Ashley Bloomfield has said very clearly, you know, the Pacific families that were involved in this, and they are at the centre of it this time, they weren't much involved in the first round of it, they have done everything right. They have complied, they've been cooperative, they've followed the rules. Don't blame the victim. You know, the Prime Minister's injunction, be kind to these people. It could be any of us. Could have happened to any of us. They're not to blame, and stop scapegoating them and stop the racist nonsense that we're seeing in some of those social media posts.
And on that very important note, we might say goodbye for this morning. Thank you so much, Mayor Phil Goff. I'm sure we'll touch base on this again next week.
Let me finish on a slightly more positive note. We've beaten it before. We'll beat it again. We'll do it by working together. And we've shown as Aucklanders and as New Zealanders, we're capable of working together. Hey, waka eka noa. That's a more positive note to end on.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you very much, Phil. Okay, we'll speak to you again next week. Take care. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.